Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv. We are just grateful, as always, for God answering our prayers, and it has been a prayer, many prayers, asking him to allow Colonel Osmo to come on, along with Pastor Alan Stewart, and we're just so grateful that they are here, along with Miss Christina Micas. But as always, we like to start the show off with asking God if he would please be over this conversation. So if you don't mind, Pastor Stewart, would you mind starting us off, sir, in prayer?
I'd be honored. Father, first of all, we just want to thank you so much for Jesus and thank you for the precious gift of life every day. But also, Father, thank you for the privilege of being born in a country with incredible freedoms. But with those freedoms, Father, you also give us responsibility. And I pray today that as we speak with one another, that our words would be seasoned with the grace of Christ. And Father, I pray you be honored and glorified in all things that are said. You have told us that we need to be prepared to give an answer to every man of the hope that lies within us. And so, Father, today I just pray that you would fill our mouth with your wisdom, fill our heart with your love. But, Lord, may you give us the courage to say the things that would be encouraging, inspiring to others today, but, again, honoring and glorifying to you. And I ask it all in the matchless and perfect name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Stewart. And for those that are new to the show, I would just like to ask everybody to just give a brief introduction. Colonel Osmo, would you mind, would you be so kind as to share a little bit about yourself, sir?
Certainly. I'm a retired lieutenant colonel from the Air Force and retired colonel with the Alabama State Guard or State Defense Force, and I serve as legal counsel for the Foundation for Moral Law. That's the foundation Chief Justice Moore established here in Montgomery, Alabama. And also I'm a pastor with the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations and teach at several different schools.
And Pastor Stewart, would you mind?
Sure. I have been in ministry for 28 years, 14 and a half of those. I've been the senior pastor of Rehoboth Baptist Church in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. I'm sure no one has ever heard of Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, but it's 20 minutes north of Chattanooga. And we've seen God do some incredible, incredible things here in our church.
Actually, I've been through Soddy Daisy on a number of occasions going up to Bryan University or Bryan College there at Dayton.
Yes, we're about 15 minutes away from Bryan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Small world. Miss Christina, would you mind?
Well, not at all. God took me there by surprise there, Diana. Yes, I'm Christina Micas, and I'm the founder of Operation Jericho. I've been in the Tea Party for 6 years, and then God moved me up into Operation Jericho, which is a project for the children. So that's what I've been doing, and that's what I'll continue to do until God leads me to another direction. But so far, this is it.
Well, it's so good to have all of you. Well, Colonel Osmo, I'm going to ask you a question that's been posed to me, and I don't know if you want to answer it today or you want to answer it another time, but I'll pose the question. You know, there's a lot of talk about the Common Core standards, and now the testing begins, and parents are wanting to, opt their children out or just, say, refuse the test so that they don't have to take these exams. They're afraid of the data. They're afraid of the manipulation. And Colonel Osmond, nobody has seen the test. But anyway, even the State Board of Alabama has not seen the test. And we are being told it's not going to count. It's supposedly to measure the teachers, evaluate the teachers and the schools. But we are told this year it's not going to count, and I think that's the way it is with every state. So somebody is asking about the parental rights issue and the 14th Amendment. Do you have some thoughts on that that you could share?
Well, I can share a few thoughts on the 14th Amendment. Part of the 14th Amendment protects privileges and immunities, and part of it says that nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And the way the courts have interpreted liberty, they've interpreted quite broadly, and frankly, I think there's some judicial activism here that I don't care for, even though sometimes the results work in our favor, but that this includes parental rights, it includes the right to marry, the right to form a family, and so on, and it includes certain rights to control the direction of your children's upbringing and their education. We've had a series of cases on this, one of them from the early 1920s, Meyer versus Nebraska, in which the court set a Nebraska statute that prohibited teaching children German in a Lutheran school. That's what Nebraska's law prohibited, and the court said that that was unconstitutional because the parents had a right to direct their children's education. A couple years later, we had a case from Hawaii, which at that time was still a territory, Farrington versus Takashiga. And in this case, the court said not only do parents have a right to decide what school to send their children to, but they have a right to send them to a school where the state is not imposing standards on that school that make the school just essentially the same thing as a public school. And then probably the best known of these was the case of Pierce versus Society of Sisters in, I believe, 1927, where the Supreme Court struck down an Oregon statute that required all parents to send their children to public schools, and the court said in that case that the child is not the mere creature of the state. Those who bring him into the world have the right and duty to direct his raising and his education. And so these cases certainly establish that there are certain parental rights over the upbringing and education of children, and that there is a limit to the extent to which schools or the state can trample upon those rights.
Wow. That sounds really good to me, Colonel Eisenhower. And I have
seen another,
some of these.
Another thing I might go into on this, if you want me to expand a bit here.
Sure,
and
please.
I've had this issue raised to me from another state just recently. But anyway, the question concerns opting out of these Common Core tests and so on. And the U.S. Supreme Court has never directly addressed that question. Several state Supreme Courts have, and the answers they've given have been different. There are some states that say that if you have a right to teach your children at home, or you have a right to provide private education for your children, but if you send them to the public school, you have to go by whatever rules the public school established. In other words, you can't send them partly to the public school and retain the right to be selective about what parts of public education you include or not. Other states, Supreme Courts, have said that you do have a right to opt your children out of certain public school programs. What I think is significant here in regard to the Common Core curricula, though, is that, like you, I can find nothing in either Alabama state law or any of the Common Core standards that says that parents cannot opt their children out of testing or any other portion of Common Core, and yet we have school officials who are insisting that the law says that they can't exempt them. And again, I have yet to see them show where they think they get that authority.
Okay, well, it might be, Carl, we're hearing some parents seriously thinking about going, you know, and through the legal way on this. So we'll see how it plays out. But I think you've just given a lot of food for thought for parents, and we appreciate it. And I don't want to take all the time. I think I already have taken quite a bit of time. And Pastor Stewart has been, oh, my goodness, we have been so waiting for this time. So, Pastor Stewart, if you don't mind, would you go ahead and share your thoughts about what happened to you with Colonel Eisenhower?
Well, the day, it was September 11th, Shell Creek Middle High School, which is about 5 minutes up the road from me, was having a memorial tribute on that day, and it was going to be sponsored by the school ROTC, and it was going to be a very short event. I mean, basically, the band that was there played the Star Spangled Banner. Then they played Taps. Members of the ROTC then raised the flag, lowered it back down to half mast, and I brought a 7-minute address. And let me say, you know, first of all, the Freedom From Religion Foundation that sent the letter in, you know, accused it of being a sermon. And certainly there is no preacher in the world that I know that can preach a sermon in 7 minutes. We can't even do the welcome in 7 minutes. And it was a message that was suitable for the occasion and the event. And because what I began to realize as I sat down and was trying to prepare what I wanted to say, it dawned on me that the senior class that was going to be standing in front of me were in kindergarten on September 11th. And this school is a combination of middle school and high schoolers, and so there were some middle schoolers who were there who were not even born on September 11th. So I was having the opportunity to tell the story of what happened that day fresh to some students who had no memory of it whatsoever. And in the course of sharing what had happened on that day, for example, and each of you will recall this event, on that day, every member of Congress and the House of Representatives stood on the steps of Capitol Hill, and they sang God Bless America. I mean, we all know that as adults. We saw that. We heard them sing it. But when I said that and made that statement, I said God. Even though it was the title of a song, I didn't even sing the song. I was just reporting historically and factually what had happened on that day, but I said God. And I also stated that on that day, our president prayed publicly before all the world, asking for God's hand of protection and blessing upon our country. Again, there's the second time that I said God. And so in the course of my sharing the details and events that had happened on that day, I think they said I said God 6 times in my 7-minute address. And so they send a threatening letter, threatening to sue the Hamilton County Schools. And they wanted a response. They wanted an apology. And so I gave them a response. I minored in history, and certainly I'm no expert and don't know all the laws and things as Colonel would, but I knew enough to know how to at least defend myself. And so I did. I sent a letter back to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And it's really funny, as I sat down and began writing the letter, I found myself writing with the same spirit that most of us as Christians do. I mean, I was angry, I was hurt, I was mad, all those kind of emotions. And I'd taken a day to fast and pray over this letter, and the Lord just truly convicted me in that time that I was answering this in a way that was not honoring to Him. And He wanted me to be firm, factual, but gracious. And so I sat down, redrafted the letter, and sent the letter to them. Never got a response. In fact, the issue basically was never spoken of or heard from again. And so that's kind of the story in short of what happened here.
Well, I'm not surprised. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has become very active in recent years, and they are a little more militant than the American Civil Liberties Union, who once in a while will be right on a case, especially if it involves free speech or free exercise of religion. But the Freedom From Religion Foundation is established by a Baptist, or not a Baptist, a former Nazarene pastor, youth pastor, who lost his faith and is now fighting against religion. He even conducts what he calls de-baptisms to unbaptize people and things like this. But their common modus operandi is to write a letter like the one that your school district received there, and which they make inflated claims about what the First Amendment prohibits. And commonly, when somebody stands up to them, nothing happens at all. They just kind of drop the matter, and seems like they get most of their mileage just out of letters that have scare value. Now, they do once in a while file a case, and we're involved in one with them right now. This is up in Wisconsin, which is where they're from, but they were able to persuade a federal judge up there, a Clinton appointee, that the clergy housing allowance that has been in existence for a long time, that this clergy housing allowance is a establishment of religion in violation of the First Amendment. This federal judge struck this down, and of course this is going to affect many churches. There's about 450,000 churches in this country, and probably the vast majority of them provide a tax-free housing allowance or parsonage to their church. Anyway, we have filed a friend of the court or amicus brief with the Department of Justice, in which we're fighting this as it goes up to the Seventh Circuit. Interestingly, when we first heard about this case, we weren't really sure how zealous the Department of Justice is going to be in defending the clergy housing allowance, but I have to say that they did a pretty credible job. But we got involved as an amicus, as did the Alliance Defending Freedom and several other organizations as well.
Wow, that's great, Colonel Osmo. Pastor Nash, do you have a question? I mean, Stuart, do you have some more questions? A question for him?
Well, at this point, you know, I guess one of the follow-ups that came immediately from the Freedom from Religion, in their own newspaper there in Wisconsin, there was a article that was titled, Wisconsin Atheists Say Bar Pastors from Tennessee Schools. And in that article, they were quoted as saying that Christian pastors have no business speaking within a public school. And I guess my question would be, you know, certainly this is something that I have done for over 31 years since I've graduated high school. When I'm still doing revivals in various places around America, from time to time, in a particular town, one of the schools, a middle school or a high school, will invite me to come in and speak to the students. Do you see that this is somewhere going to progress, that perhaps possibly pastors, youth ministers will no longer be invited to ever do those kind of things, speaking to an assembly?
Well, first of all, I think that once again they are making some very inflated claims of what the First Amendment says, and not only that, but I think they're acting in clear discrimination against one class of people, pastors. And
Yes. Anyway,
what they're saying is you couldn't be invited to come in and speak to public school even if you were speaking on an entirely secular subject in which God wasn't mentioned. But the
Right. Courts
have never said that God cannot be mentioned in the public schools. They said you can't have worship services, certain devotion, things like that. But as far as, in fact, what they've said many times is the public schools cannot teach religion, but they can teach about religion. And to teach about what our founding fathers have said about God and about Christianity, or the role that Christianity played on both sides of the war between the states and other things like that. The courts have never said you can't do that. In fact, they've said you can. And now, interestingly enough, there's a case out of Tennessee that might be of interest to you. It went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and this was several decades ago. The case is McDaniel versus Patey. And anyway, this involved a provision of the Tennessee State Constitution that prohibited ordained ministers from running for public office. Went up to the United States Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, if I recall correctly, was a unanimous decision, struck that down as unconstitutional. What it said is that you are forcing a pastor then to choose between, one, giving up his constitutional right to public office, or two, giving up his constitutional right to practice his religion as he believes he's been called to practice it. And the court said you can't put somebody in a dilemma like that, and they struck it down. But as to whether this is going to increase or not, I'm sure that the intention of the Freedom from Religion Foundation and others like that is to increase the pressure until they have virtually removed anything remotely religious from the public arena. I think they'd probably like to even have a law that says you can't even play your Christian radio if you're driving on a public highway. But anyway, as to how far it's going to go, I think the real key question there is what direction is the Supreme Court going to go on this? Right now, we've got four liberal justices on the court. We've got Ginsburg and Sotomayor and Kagan, and then Breyer, who is liberal. Pardon me?
Can you hear me?
Hi there, Noah. I can hear
hey.
You. Miss Christina?
Sorry about that. I got a few minutes where I can get in here, or I got a signal.
Okay, well, we got you. Carl Eisler, you want to finish that, and we'll let Noah come in.
Just finish real quickly. We have those four liberal justices, that's including Breyer, who's liberal most of the time. We have four conservative justices, Alito and Roberts almost always, and, of course, Scalia and Thomas, with Kennedy somewhat in the middle, maybe leaning a little bit conservative. But with the court having so many 5-4 decisions either way right now, it is of such crucial importance as to who is going to nominate the next several justices to the Supreme Court and who is going to, what Senate is going to confirm them. Consider this. And I'll just be perfectly honest with your audience. John McCain was not my choice for the Republican nomination for president in 2008. But if he had been elected, we would have two conservative justices on the court instead of Kagan and Sotomayor, which would give us a 6-2 majority with, again, one Kennedy in the middle. And we would have the votes on the court to overturn Roe versus Wade, to strike down Obamacare, which wouldn't even have passed anyway then. But the probably the most significant legacy that any president leaves is his appointees to the Supreme Court. And that is so important to consider in the next election.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Colonel Osmo. We need to be mindful of that. And nobody can sit and relax anymore. We all have to be involved. With that, even young people are getting involved. And, Colonel Osmo, I'm going to pass Pastor Stewart's contact information to you, if you don't mind, because I know that y'all would like to keep this conversation going a bit more. But we have Noah here with us. Is it Noah?
No.
Yes.
No, okay. If you don't mind, Colonel Osmo and Pastor Stewart, y'all going to love this. If you don't mind, you know, there's such an assault among the young people today. You know, we see that in the schools and in other places. But would you mind sharing a bit, Noah, with Colonel Osmo and Pastor Stewart, what happened in your situation?
Diana, just real quick to let you know, Pastor Stewart and Noel know each other.
Oh, okay. Now, is he the one from Texas? Is Noel the one from Texas?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
One that the Freedom Religion Foundation attacked them as well.
Okay, if you don't mind, Noel, just share a bit with Colonel Osmo.
Okay, back in the middle of January, I have twin boys that are seniors this year, and my son Cameron, he has led Fellowship of Christian Students since he's been in high school. He was a band chaplain for 2 years and still is. But one of their teachers came to him one day, actually the FCS teacher, and said the school district had been contacted by the Freedom from Religion Foundation because of a poster that was on the back of a wall. I mean, on a door. It was I'm trying to remember that verse. I think it was Romans 1:16, I believe. Anyway, what had happened? There was a child that snapped a picture of it and sent it to her mother. After class was over, they'd gone back in there. Can y'all still hear me?
Hear you fine.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Anyway, the superintendent was contacted, and my son, he came home tore up because he asked his friends. He said, you know, would y'all guys take a stand with me? He said, we can't let this happen. This is not right. It can't happen. Anyway, they didn't want to do anything. They were scared. A lot of the teachers at our schools, I don't know what the estimation is, but I'd say, you know, the majority of them are Christians that had their hands tied. But anyway, he asked me, well, what about a shirt? And they said, if we could come up with a shirt, would y'all wear it? And they said, yes. So he came home to me that night, and we talked and prayed, and I said, son, I said, you know, whatever we do, I said, we can't stop. We've got to go through with it because, you know, Satan is going to, this is what he wants. Anyway, you know, we didn't think anything would happen. We bought like 100 shirts, and within less than a week, it was on the other side of the world. Our ministry was called Take a Stand for Jesus. We won't be shaking us on Facebook. I think it's about, it's a little bit over 16,000 likes now, but just people all over the country and world that we've got to share the story with. You know, it kind of lit a spark in young people. A lot of school districts around our area, they're wanting to do it too. Two weeks ago, I got a call from a lady in a town about 15 miles from where we live, and she said, we have a dress code at our schools in Jacksonville, and we want to get these shirts approved for their Fellowship of Christian Students. There was a little girl that was in middle school. She's 14 years old. Her name is Emily LeBroton, so if you would pray for her. And anyway, she shared it with her church that Sunday night. Well, one of the pastor's wife called me the next day, and she said, you know, can you please help us? You know, she needs help. And I said, okay. Anyway, we got their handbook and policies and stuff and read in them, and there was nothing against anything saying that, like on Monday through Thursday, they have to wear certain stuff, but on Friday, they can wear their spirit shirts, you know, football shirt, basketball, baseball, whatever it might be, as long as it applies to the dress code. So I contacted the middle school principal, and never could get in touch with her, so I emailed her. She never would answer. The lady, the pastor's wife that I was talking to, she got in touch with her by email, you know, and they kind of went back and forth. The girl was told no at first, and I said, no, I said, that's not right. I said, you tell her, don't do it. Well, this was on a Wednesday. She came back Friday, told them they could. Well, the next Monday they couldn't, and it went on and on and on. And finally I called. You know, I called their office again. I called the administrator up there. I mean, the superintendent left messages. Anyway, he finally called back Monday before last. You know, and I explained to him, I said, sir, I said, I just want to let you know what this ministry is about. And he, you know, it was like I was explaining the ministry to him, and he was, You know, he didn't care, pretty much. He just, you know, he said, well, you're not her father. She lives with her grandmother. I think something happened to her parents. I said, I understand that, sir. I said, but, you know, I said, we need God in these schools, and they're getting more ungodly every day. I said, I want to help however I can. Anyway, he made it sound like it was going to take forever, and finally, after fierce, I mean, it was just terrible. Finally, they're able to wear their shirts on Fridays. They had to put the, like, JMS on one sleeve and FCS on the other sleeve so they could be approved as a spirit shirt. And what we've done is, you know, what we wanted to start out at the beginning was we just wanted all the kids in the school district where we live to have one that couldn't afford one. And you know, whenever we bought the first 100 shirts, we're like, well, we don't know what's going to happen, you know. And then I think right now we're almost up. I think we sent out about 5,000 shirts all over around the world.
Wow.
You know,
Noel, I think Colonel Isomo, we're going to lose him because he's going to have to go. But Colonel Isomo, I mean, it's just really amazing to hear what he has done, what the other youth have done. So they're persevering. And there is such an assault. We see this with Common Core, which is outcome-based education, and it's nothing new, Colonel Isomo. You know that. So what is your word for the rest of us, I guess, that's right in the midst of all this?
Well, on that, let me respond to Noah just a moment, if I could. And quickly, in regard to what Noah's saying here, this is ridiculous that schools would be imposing rules like this. Courts have said, in the Tinker versus Des Moines case in the 1960s, that the school does have a right to prohibit expressive messages like wearing an armband to protest the war or something like that, if they can show that it would have a disruptive effect on discipline. But they'd have a hard time showing that here. Rather, if they're concerned about that, they should use this as the opportunity to teach tolerance, to teach the other students, look, if these religious students want to wear T-shirts expressing their message, they should have the right to do that, just as you can have your message about whatever is concerning to you. That's the way they should be handling it instead of this. Now, in regard to parents and Common Core, I guess my first bit of advice would be that I really think that Christian parents should seriously consider whether their children should be in public school at all.
Amen.
And I personally favor private and home schools, but anyway, but if they are, then I would insist on the right to opt out. If the authorities tell you you can't, ask them to cite specific regulation or statute, federal or state, that says they can't. And I don't believe they'll be able to do it. They haven't so far.
No, they don't.
Wow.
Finalize. That's the problem. They cite nothing, but yet they come up with all these rules. Parents were hauled away that opted their kids out. They were hauled off the campus. There are people out here in California that have opted their children out, and their children, and I know the attorneys that prepared this, and you probably do too, Pacific Justice Institute, and you know they're a very good legal firm, and yet the children are being expelled and from school because of these opt-out forms. So this is, again, it seems to me that we have law on our side, but law doesn't apply anymore.
Well, sometimes it's hard to track down where the law is, but...
Yeah, the federal government...
But, I mean, I would ask them to produce the authority, and if they can't do that, then they won't back down from their position. I'd keep going up the chain to the superintendent, the school board, and further up than that if you need to. If that doesn't work, then at the end of this school year, you know, they really depend upon parents sending the kids to school for a good share of their funding because, you know, they get state aid based upon the number of pupil units they have in the schools. And the idea that a lot of parents might be pulling their kids out of school is going to cost that local district quite a bit. And so that kind of threat can sometimes get results.
Well, that's what Operation Jericho is about, Colonel Eismo. It's a project that God brought me to get the children out of the government indoctrination system, not to try to save the public school system. And both Noel and Pastor Stewart are part of Operation Jericho. And we're working very hard to, you know, get pastors to step up and people to step up, to wake up the pastors, to open up their churches so that we can facilitate parents and things to get their children out. It's so important to get them out of this indoctrination system, especially Christian parents.
Very definitely.
Yeah. Well, come on.
Say, hang in there,
and
may the walls come tumbling down.
Yes, amen. Well, that's.
Well, Colonel Eismo, we are so grateful, as always, for you being on. I wish you could stay a little bit longer, but I know you have to go. But Pastor Stewart, do you want to say something before we let Colonel Eismo leave? And also I'll let Noel say one more thing.
Well, the only thing that I wanted to say to Colonel, I just wanted him to know that it was a complete honor to be able to meet him, even though it's by phone. I've heard so much about you, heard so much about the Foundation for Moral Law, and it's certainly one of the great honors of my life to be able to meet you today by conversation on phone.
Well, I'd love to come up to Saudi Daisy sometime and meet you in person. It's not that far away.
That would be awesome.
We've always got the welcome mat out, sir.
And Noel, I'm going to let you... Noel, do you want to say one more thing before Colonel Eismo has to leave?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to, you know, I want to thank you for, you know, for what you've done, and you know, I've heard a lot about you, and I've read stuff, and it really has helped me, because, you know, like I told Christine, I said, you know, I've been trying to hand this stuff out to pastors and this and that, and it's just like nobody will, everybody's just stuck in neutral, you know, as long as, you know, what it's like here is if we can write a check and somebody else do it, that's okay. You know, we'll contribute that way. But other than that, you know, us, the parents that do care, you know, it's just it's a battle every day for us. But, you know, you give me hope. You really have, whether you know it or not. You know, and,
we appreciate,
you know,
that. And I might just say the Foundation for Moral Law we're a small foundation, but we do get involved in things like this, and by all means, call upon us if we can be of help.
Yeah, I sure will. You know, I've wanted to several times, and I've been kind of reluctant to, but, you know, now I will, because as it gets more, you know, and this is the thing, is the atheist people, you know, those guys need to be prayed for so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been tormented by such horrible, you know, what they want to do to my wife and daughter and my sons, you know, it's death threat. I had to tell my daughter the other day, she said, "Daddy, is this true? I don't know where she heard it at." And I said, "Abby," I said, "you know," I said, "don't worry about it." I said, "we're going to be fine." But the hardest thing I've ever had to tell my kids, and I did right after this started, I said, "you know, when I saw all this stuff they were commenting," and of course the kids didn't see it, but I said, "you know," I said, "I need to ask you guys a question." My daughter, she'll be 13. And my boys, they're seniors. And we all sat down, me and my kids and my wife, and I said, "I need to ask y'all a question." I said, "are y'all prepared to die for Jesus today?" And that was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But when I saw what force we're against, you know, it's just Satan will go to any lengths to do whatever he can to keep the way things are now, you know. Once you start stirring stuff up, it really infuriates him, and you know, I want to be one of those folks that when I die, I want him to say, "man, I'm glad he is gone," you know, and just
crazy.
And I'm sure I'll be contacting you. I want to contact you, and I feel better now, you know, getting to talk to you. But I just, you know, I really appreciate it.
It's real important, Noel, that you know we all as Christians come together now and stand as one, you know, for God, because this is our time. And this
yes,
is you know, why we're so blessed to have Colonel Eismo here, you know, to help us through some of these dark times. So what about...
Well, let me also, Ms. Christine, let me go ahead and mention the Foundation for Moral Law. It is morallaw.org. Isn't that right, Colonel Eismo? Do I have
That's
that
correct.
Right?
Moral
okay,
law,
so, yeah, go to their website. We really need to be helping them. They are just... Oh, my goodness. Well, y'all already know how much he means to y'all. He means a lot to a lot of us. So, and also,
mm-hmm.
before y'all leave, we need y'all's website. But, Colonel Eismo, you'll be on again next month. You're so busy.
I'll look forward to it. And I wish everybody
you,
a
sir.
Blessed Easter weekend.
Thank you.
Our crucified and risen Lord.
Amen.
Yes,
thank you, sir.
Thank
God bless you, Colonel Eismo.
And everybody else, don't hang up. I want to get, Noel, if you don't mind, give us your Facebook page for those that are interested. Can they join you and friend you and whatever?
It's called
and also Pastor
Take a Stand for Jesus. It's called Take a Stand for Jesus. We won't be shaken.
Okay, we need to all be going to there and joining us.
You know, and another thing, and... You know, this might be, I know it's probably ridiculous that I even did it, but, you know, I had to try. We have to try. But God, he said, you know, he said, we sent a petition to the president, Supreme Court justices, all leaders of the world. And we're trying to get, it's on change.org, but my son, he said, "Dad," he said, "we got to do something different. We got to, you know, what can you know, God's just stirring in my heart." He said, "what can we do?" And I got the same thing, you know. God's just been dealing with us a whole lot because it's just been getting harder and harder. But, you know, it might be a long shot, but, you know, if we never know, if we don't try, we'll never know. You know, I never would have thought, you know, I've told y'all before, I put God in a box a lot, and I don't need anymore because, you know, he let this thing go on the other side of the world in less than a week, you know. And I'm not going to do that anymore to him because he can do what he wants to. And and wherever it goes from there, you know, it might not go anywhere, but, you know, at least we can try and pray and hope. And some of the senators and representatives that we sent it to, they are from here, from Tyler, and they're Christians. A couple of them, actually one of them I got to talk to, his name's Louis Gohmert. He's a good guy as far as I know. I mean, by talking to him, you know, and Tyler's about 40 miles north of where we live at. But, you know, Well, so I was telling Christine earlier, I was texting her because I didn't know if I would get to be on here, and I always lose signal where I am. But it's so discouraging, and I'm not. And it's just Satan putting thoughts in your head. But
amen.
Whatever you see, when you see your own leaders in your church, people that proclaim, you know, and they're Christians, and I know they believe in God, but how can put your walk where your talk is, you know? Just don't sit there and not do anything because, you know, we are destroying what we've already done is done, you know. And our kids are going to pay for the sins that we have done, you know. But if we don't start here, you know, we have to start somewhere. And, I mean,
well,
we can't change what has happened already, but we can help tomorrow.
It's amazing the power of God, because now look at, you know, you've heard Colonel Osmo, you've heard Pastor Alan Stewart, and it's given you encouragement, Miss Christina. And I'm going to post some stuff on your webpage.
Yes, ma'am.
Because, you know, we've got this issue that we're fighting with is the indoctrination that's going through the system, education system.
Yes,
the next mantra in the next election, as somebody has said, is, get rid of the Department of Education. You know, that federal education system needs to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
It really needs to be gone. And I think,
you know,
you've already got 16,000 people there.
More. Yeah, the Common Core, it's horrible.
It's,
you know,
worse. Well, it's actually leaked.
You know, it's terrible. It's sickening. And, you know, it's a national. And I don't know. I cannot remember. I want to say I haven't looked it up, but I don't remember if Texas is part of it yet.
Yeah, you're not. You supposedly are not, but the C-scope is really, it's Common Core. You do have Common Core.
Yeah,
it's just,
and that's,
the rest
that's
of us
what,
said
I,
no,
I
but yours is in there.
Yeah, I was thinking that's what it was, because there was an issue down in South Texas about the C-scope, what they were teaching. You know, and another thing, I meant to mention a while ago. Go ahead. Uh-huh.
Real quick, not only do you have C-Scope, but you have a tremendous number of Gulen charter schools and charter schools in Texas, and that's Common Core. So it's not...
Is it?
Yeah, it's not just the public
wasn't real sure.
School system, but
no,
you got...
Let me... Miss Christina, let me bring in Pastor Stewart on here. Pastor Allen, are you still on?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I didn't know if you'd hung up. You know, we need more pastors like you, and just, you know, it's so great to speak to you, sir, and the stand that you have made. And, Pastor Stewart, you're not alone. Now, you might be just a few in your state, but I think y'all need to join, you and our state that's standing up. Now, the good thing about Alabama, I could say this, is we do have a leader in our Southern Baptist, Alabama Baptist. Now, we have Alabama Baptist president, I think John Killian is his name. He did write a resolution at our, you know, Southern Baptist, Alabama Baptist Convention against the Common Core. It wasn't an outright get rid of it, but he was warning parents about it. So we do have that, and I'm wondering if y'all could form a coalition of some sort amongst the states, because it really, you know, what Noel and his children's facing. And also, it's really the Common Core is an anti-God. That's my bottom line of it, personally. It's an anti-God education system. So I really think that if we could have pastors together across the state lines praying and just, you know, that would help us so much, I think, for y'all to be united standing with us.
Whenever the issue occurred here, and, you know, it hit the AP wire. It went across America within about a three-week time frame. I had over 3,500 phone calls that came into my office and to the home. And during that time, my thinking was that perhaps there would be some pastor that had a national pulpit, had a much broader influence, that perhaps would say, listen, that's a small country town, a small country pastor. He shouldn't have to be taking this alone. I'm going to stand with him. I'm going to help. and some guy that would lead the charge again that could draw a greater and broader influence. Well, what ended up happening was I got letters from a lot of these men. And, you know, certainly I won't mention any names, but men that were denominational leaders. It wasn't just Baptist, but other denominations. I got letters and emails from these men. And to sum up the gist of what they were all saying is, go get them, Tiger. And an unwillingness to stand with me in that, but let me know, yeah, we're behind you. Well, I never saw anyone, so I'm assuming they were way behind me. And as I've got through this process, the one thing that has been so enlightening to me about it is I now have a deeper understanding of why our nation is in the shape that it is, and it's because of the lack of courage to stand on behalf of spiritual leaders in our land. When you know, knowing American history, when you go back and look at our country's history, there was a time in America when the church had such a voice of authority and a voice of respect that when the church spoke, it set the tone for where our nation went. And there is no longer that kind of respect. I mean, when the church speaks, the world laughs. And so my prayer every day is that God will give us a man that is so full of himself. I guess the word I'm looking for is a spiritual statesman. You know, a man that the world, even though they will disagree, the world will still respect, they will listen, because there's something unusual about the words that man speaks that is captivating to them. We're desperate for a man like that today. And, you know, we're talking about the Common Core, the standardizing our children and stuff. You know, one thing that I've not heard throughout America about in this debate from the church's perspective is the fact that this kind of mentality is setting the stage for a one-world order, a one-world government, a one-world religion, where everything is standardized. I mean, this may be the very beginning of what's going to be the end.
Well, I agree with you, and go ahead, Ms. Christina.
I was just going to say I couldn't agree more, and, of course, that's why we're doing Operation Jericho, as Pastor Stewart and Noel both know, because we've got to save the children.
Mm-hmm.
Get them out of this system until if and when, you know, something else is created or whatever. But these children, get them out. He does not want Christian parents putting their kids in this indoctrination system. And that's where I would like to see, and I know this is hard, we've discussed it every week, but pastors coming together and working together to facilitate this.
And Ms. Christine, if you don't mind, mention Operation Jericho's website. We do, you know, for people that are wanting to find resources, wanting to, you know, the schools are failing them. They cannot opt their children. I'm seeing a lot of postings. They're going to be homeschooling so next year. So share your website if you don't mind.
It's OperationJerichoProject.com. And we encourage all parents to go to the website, contact us. We'll get you involved. We'll get you started. And, you know, find ways to help you. Homeschool, even if there's no pastor around, if there's nothing, we'll find ways to help you. Just contact us from OperationJerichoProject.com. It's so important right now to get your kids out.
And I would like to, and I'm so grateful to hear you, Pastor Stewart and Noel and Ms. Christina. And, you know, one of the things that, of course, I think, you know, a lot of people in, I hate to say it, in the church want to shy away from is politics. But we cannot afford to do that because even in our state, very conservative state of Alabama, they are trying to form an office to oversee the homeschool. So even that, they are wanting to gain control of. So we have to stay involved in the politics. So please, please, this election, I know we've got in our state, we've got primaries coming up, and you do too, I'm sure. And, you know, this election next year is going to be very important and also in 2 years. So really, for those of you who have, you're hurting at home, your faith is under assault, your child's under assault at home, please, you have to be involved. I see being involved in politics as really honoring God's goodness. I mean, how many nations in the world Do you have the ability to choose leaders? We've not done that. I know people say, well, you know, parents are too busy. They don't care about schools. I think that's wrong. The problem with parents is we are, yes, we're very busy taking kids to baseball, football, whatever, but we have trusted. We have trusted the system. It has failed us. You cannot trust. I think you need to use the gifts that God has given you, which is the land of the free and the system that he has used here, to continue to shine the light, because we know it. America is one of the great places that supports mission throughout the world. If the light in America is diminished, the world's light is also going to be diminished. So we have a part in honoring God's gift, just like the gift of his son. If you're not involved in politics, I think you're not honoring God's gift. It's almost like a slap in the face, I think. You may not realize it. I'm realizing it more and more. So I hope many more will open their eyes. But anyway, as we close, Noel, I just, I've been on a bandwagon here now, so I'm going to let you come in and say, if I can let you come on. Go ahead, Noel. Can you say something?
Okay.
Get in on this.
What I wanted to say is, whenever this happened down here, it was just, I think it might have been just, you know, hours, or the next day, Pastor Stewart called me. That it was that evening. It was one evening, and I wanted to share the man that I see in him, even though I haven't met him. And I'm sorry, Pastor Stewart, for not being in touch. Sometimes it's been we've just been under severe battle down here, but he has helped me so much. I want to share with y'all his character. I've never met him, but he called and he said, I will do anything I can for you. He said, I'll come down there tomorrow. He said, God just laid this on my heart to help these kids that are going through stuff like this. But, you know, what he didn't know was just him talking to me. And we've corresponded back and forth, text message and email and stuff. And I'll be in touch with you soon, Pastor Stewart, I promise. Just his character. I thought we had a really awesome preacher at our church, and several around. But looking back, you know, they've known what we've gone through down here, and not one of them has offered to help. I've called out to them many times, many times, and I've called out to people to pastors everywhere, And Pastor Stewart, you know, he said, I'll do whatever I can for you. Whatever you need, he said, I'm here for you 24/7. He said, I'll do what I can. And I just wanted to share with you guys, you know, that's the type of man that we need everywhere. You know, preachers everywhere like that. And godly men, you know, just not just preachers, but men, you know, leaders of the household. And every that's just what type of person we need. And I think he was talking about that a while ago about somebody, leading the charge. But it's sad that, you know, when he said that to me, it just kind of crushed me a while ago about, those guys said, go get them. That's just, it's sad. And that's the way it is. And, I guess what I'm trying to say is how can I help? How can I help you? You know, how can I help y'all? What could I do to help the situation here and y'all's, you know, where you're located, Tennessee, Alabama, California, what can we do together? I guess that's what I'm trying to say, because just this little conference, I'm in this call right now. I'm glad I called. You know, I'm at work, but if I get in trouble, I don't care. They can fire me tomorrow. You know,
I told y'all, you, no.
He told us to go be fishers of men, and I told my wife, I said, if God tells me to do something, you know, to quit my job tomorrow, I'll do it. Just so I can save our kids and, you know, do his will. But, how do we reach out to people in higher places, you know, like you're talking about the government a while ago, leaders like that, how do you reach out to them? And, you know, what can we do to help each other?
Well, we're already seeing a unity. You know, every state now has a Stop Common Core page, and that is like you have the address book of a lot of these people that you want to you want to help and needs help. And we need leaders. And Pastor Stewart, I hear you, and I think, you know, you're that leader. You're talking about we need somebody, but I really believe you are. I believe you're one of them, if not the one. So you and, you know, along with Noah, but go ahead, Christina.
I told him that when this first happened. I said, you are that person that you're looking for. So he doesn't quite know it yet.
And Pastor Stewart, you know, it's just, you know, it's wonderful to hear Colonel Osmo because, you know, within a few minutes, he had three huge problems solved. You know, he really gave you the answer, Noel the answer, and me the answer within a few minutes. He really did. I mean, that's the way it should be addressed, the way that he said it. He is one of the best of the best. And so, you know, I'm so grateful for him coming on and taking care of all of us at the same time. But I do think I agree with Miss Christina because I think now's the time, and we do now have connection. And, you know, I'm so excited with Noel's connection of 16,000. My goodness. And you know what? He's got the Ted Cruz and all those. They're already there in his
state. Right.
So, I, you know, that's a great beginning right there. So I think we need to have us another telephone conference and bring other people in.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was asked by several people. They said, why do you paint a target on you and your family's back? And I said, you know, I got mad for a minute, but then I stopped, and I had to sit there and pray for a second. And I said, you know what? I said, every time that I see somebody ask me that or something challenging comes up, I said, I can see Jesus carrying his cross, you know, getting beat to death. And, you know, I see his plain as day, but, and then he looks at, well, you know, when he's doing this, I picture his mother, you know, Mary looking at him, and then I see him turn his face, and he said, I did this for you, you know, and I tell him, I said, you know what, I said, there's not a target on my kid's back or my back. I said, what we're doing is exactly what God has asked us to do. I said, you know, I said, he will take care of us, and I said, you know, we're not afraid of anything. You know, when I told my kids about that, about the, you know, are you prepared to die for Jesus today? They acted like it was another day, like, okay, Dad, that's great, and took off, you know. And you know, it's amazing to see how many people are so lost and don't understand. And I don't know. I mean, there's people that we've been fortunate to meet, and I don't know if it's because it's kids, but other ways we've been able to reach other folks is through some of these contemporary Christian singers. They've been close to us, and they're singers that we like, and we go see their concert, and they look and see the shirt and say, hey, I like your shirt, you know, what can we do to help? You know, and these are people that have like a million fans, you know, and like the last one that we went to, it was in Tyler, and it was a group from Oregon, and there were three other ones, and they are very well known, but they asked, you know, what can we do to help? What is there out there that, you know, I said, just please spread the word, that's all. Just let people know that Jesus is alive, that, you know, there is hope. And that's one way that we've kind of been very fortunate that God has allowed us to be able to do that, I guess, you know, because of the younger kids and stuff. But, you know, it's just I'm glad that Christina, you know, sometimes she'll text me several times, and I'm sorry, I was telling, we've been really busy and things have been happening, and I know her husband was sick, and you know, it's just been hard to keep in touch, but, you know, God's at work, you know, and he's gonna have his will.
We're here,
you know, whatever.
For each other, Noel. That's the most important thing, whether we can answer each other right away or whatever. We're still here for each other, and that's the most important thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, let me go ahead in closing and ask, you know, Pastor Stewart, I know I asked you to pray at the beginning, and normally don't ask you to pray again twice, but, you know, with everything that's been said, would you mind closing us in prayer? And to me, in the, you know, in the background is Resurrection Sunday. So we know we have victory because of Jesus. So with that in mind, would you mind closing us during prayer?
Absolutely. Father, again, we come before you, a holy, sovereign God. Around us in a world where it seems that men hold the rule, I'm always reminded that you're a God who overrules. And so, Father, I pray today, first of all, that you would give us men and women who are so full of you, full of your wisdom, full of your discernment. And God, that you would give us those kind of people that could discern the times and know what to do. And so, Lord, I pray first that you give us those kind of people, but Father, I pray for a divine reversal of the plans that men have laid. And Lord, I pray that you would set a new course of direction. And Father, may you help preserve and protect the dream that did not begin in our forefathers' heart. It began in your heart for our nation. Father, may you protect it for your own honor and your own glory. But Lord, again, I pray that you surround us and our children with teachers that'll make a difference, that'll be able to touch the lives of a generation of children while their minds are still being formed, their hearts are still soft. God, I pray you would touch that generation coming behind me. And Lord, that you would raise up out of them young men, young women who are sold out to Jesus. So, Father, I pray you've been honored and glorified in every word that we have spoken today. And Lord, if there are things that the hearers have heard today, Father, that were important, I pray you would guard and protect that seed in their heart. And Lord, may you bring a harvest of fruit in your due season. And I ask it all in the perfect name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, everyone. Please share the podcast. I think we heard some very important things in it. www.cityonthehill.tv. And we hope that Noel, Pastor Stewart, and, of course, Ms. Christina will join us again. So God bless you, everyone, and
God bless
America. Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.